Hello. Okay, we are going to talk about one of my favorite women in the Bible. So turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25, verse 3. The Bible says, "Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb." Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day, this time to spend over your word and listening to your word as ladies. Help us to learn from your word how we can be ladies of good understanding and be wise and have a beautiful countenance before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, this is the verse in the Bible that has always intrigued me because I've always thought, what if God wrote a verse in the Bible about me? What would he say? Would he say anything like this? I don't know. I would hope so. Have you ever thought about that? It would be a great privilege to be in the Bible, and Abigail was allowed to be in the Bible. So what would God say about us if he were to write a verse about us? Well, this is what he says about her. He says that she's a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance. Good understanding means prudence, insight, understanding, good sense, and wisdom. Prudence would be like you're thinking and you know enough to make a good decision about a certain issue. So you know enough about cooking in order to buy good food. You know enough about relationships to make a good decision. It's almost like wisdom. It's making a wise decision using the knowledge that you have in this certain situation. Insight would be discernment or noticing something going on and doing something about it, not just blah, 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 la la land. Okay? Beautiful countenance means what it says. She was a beautiful lady. She had a beautiful look on her face. She was a friendly person to look at. She had her countenance wasn't also only her face, but also her personality. When you look at someone, their eyes are open and bright, and they're approachable. Okay, then sometimes when we're all having a bad day, we look like this, and we just don't look approachable, do we? Okay, so her countenance was beautiful. God has made us all as we are. And there are certain things that we can do to make ourselves look beautiful. Like today, I washed my hair, and I put a special conditioner on it because it's so dry here, and I put makeup on, and I had my husband drive me into the car so my feet wouldn't be dirty, you know, all those things that we can do to make ourselves look beautiful. And that's not a bad thing, but it's not only the outward beauty that people notice. It's our inward beauty and our good understanding and our wisdom. So let's learn about that today and how to have more of it. Let's read the story of Abigail. So we're going to start with verse 3. I'll repeat it. "Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish, foolish, did bad things, evil and angry all the time. So he wasn't a good man. And evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb." Now skip down to verse 14. "But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master,' and he railed on them." So Nabal railed on the messengers of David. Railed would be told them off. In our today, it would be cussed them out. Was very unkind to them. Okay, so he was being his normal personality. "But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in their fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he, Nabal, is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." So what happened was, David was on the run from Saul. He was in the neighborhood in the countryside where Nabal lived. and they had their sheep, and Nabal was a very rich man. He had his sheep out in the countryside. Well, David and his 600 men plus, maybe families, I'm not sure, were out in the countryside too, and they helped take care of the sheep. So the sheep were protected because of David from robbers, from possible predators and those things. And it says in the verses before that they didn't lose a single sheep the whole time that David was out and about with their shepherds. The shepherds, they liked this. It was extra eyes to help take care of the sheep, because if Nabal seemed to be as mean as he was, he might be unkind to them if they lost any of the sheep. So David helped to protect Nabal's sheep. And when that happened, a lot of times it was a joint kind of relationship, almost like a mercenary or a security guard in the area. And they would come to the person that they had been helping and say, can you help us? We've helped you. Can you help us by giving us food? And so what David had done is he had said, okay, it's the time of shearing. It's the time of great rejoicing and celebration. They had a big feast when they were shearing the sheep. And go and see if they will give us something because of our help for them. Do I understand what's going on? Okay, verse 18. Then Abigail made haste. So the servant came to Abigail and said, this is what happened. He railed on them, and they went back to their to David, and David's going to be upset. And now David's on his way to hurt us, to kill us all. Didn't mean it was right, but that's what was happening. Okay, David was on the way to punish Nabal's whole family because of how he reacted. Okay, let's see what Abigail does. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. So she sends her servants ahead with all these foods and things, and she comes behind. And here comes David, and here they come. Okay? She sent the gift ahead, and she comes behind. Maybe to lighten the atmosphere a little bit, maybe because that's the way they handled things, because she was a woman, she came second. Honestly, don't know why, but that's how she did it. Go on to verse 26. Nope. Verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. So she says, I'll take the blame. Don't hurt my family. Don't hurt my servants. I'll take the blame. So she humbled herself in front of him to protect the people that she loved, okay? And she says, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. Now, I don't know that I condone her speaking of her husband that way, but this is what the Bible says. Also, during that time, more than likely, it wasn't like the message last night where you get to choose who you submit to. They were arranged marriages. Maybe her father married her off to Nabal or something. So I'm not saying he neither here nor there whether she should have acted as she did to her husband, but this is what the Bible says happened, okay? And she says, regarding this man of Belial, even Nabal, for his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But thine handmaid saw not the young men of the Lord whom thou didst send. So she said, I didn't see them coming. If I had saw them coming, I would have done something. Please, just take a breath. Just stop a minute. Let's do this differently than you had planned, okay? So she suggests, she uses her wisdom and her good understanding to help David see something. Verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, she's talking to David, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord God hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood. So she's saying, so David, since God has stopped you from hurting us, so she's saying, you know, you really don't want to do this. And since the Lord, not me, but God has told you this isn't a wise thing, she's using a little bit of her influence and a little bit of persuasion to say, let's not do this. It's pretty bad. So she goes on and says, withholding thee from shedding blood, to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. So she said, since you decided not to hurt us, may God bless you the same way and help your enemies to be taken care of. Okay, now let's go on. Abigail blesses David and reminds him of God's promise. Verse 27. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men to follow my Lord. So here's this food. Here's these cakes of figs and all these things. Take them for your young men, this blessing. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. She took the blame again. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Now, Abigail knew who David was. Probably all of Israel knew who David was. He had been anointed king, and he was running from Saul. And she knew, more than likely, he was in her area. She knew that Saul had been chasing him, and she knew the prophecies or what Samuel had said would happen for David. She knew that he was going to be king, and so she's saying, the Lord will make thee a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord God, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Verse 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee. Who's that? Who is it? Saul. And to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord David shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. So she's saying, God's going to protect you, and he's going to take care of your enemies for you. She's encouraging him. You know all these things are true. You know that God's going to protect you. God has a plan. Don't forget. Don't forget his plan. He's going to bless you. He's going to protect you. Go on to verse 30. Abigail points out, these are my little headings. Abigail points out that David does not want to regret his hasty actions. And it shall come to pass when the Lord God shall have done to my Lord David according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee. In other words, when you become king and when all these good things happen for you, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee. What is he saying? Nor offensive heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with David, my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. So she's saying, since you decided not to hurt us, and since you stopped, and you let your anger go, and you didn't kill us, basically, it's not going to be something that you regret when you become the king. Look at that. This shall be no grief to thee. You're not going to look back and say, oh, that was not the right thing to do. Maybe God would have punished him. Maybe it would have changed the whole story of David, at least for a time, because of his actions, because he disobeyed or lost it and hurt those people. Or nor offensive heart unto my Lord. So because you decided not to hurt us, and because you decided to stop and think about it, you're not going to have regrets. Sometimes just a little blurb. If we would sometimes stop and think about things we say or do before we do them, what would we not have? Regrets. Okay. Now let's go on to the very last of the story, and then we'll hit the rest of it. Verse 32, David blesses and thanks Abigail. Now, you know, we're still talking about the prospective king of Israel and Abigail, a lady, and she went up to him and she gave him this food and she said, please don't do this and stop right here and I'll take the blame. Okay, so this has been intense, this interaction between them. And David said unto Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. So he got it, didn't he? He got it. He got the purpose of her stopping him. Now, verse 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. So she goes home and he goes back and all is well. Okay? So the story turns out great. Later, Nabal dies and Abigail becomes David's wife. Imagine that. Okay, so now let's look. We've seen the story of Abigail. Let's give some examples of her good understanding and wisdom. Who has one from the story that you can just pops right into your head? Give me a good example, an example of her good understanding and wisdom in this scenario. She thought before she talked. Anybody else? bringing food. She knew what to do to help. They needed food. She brought food. Say it again. Okay, she knew what the Lord was planning for David. She probably had prayed all the way on the donkey to meet David, that the Lord would give her. She humbled herself? Yes, she did. Okay, so I have several. First of all, she made haste with a solid plan. So she finds out what's going on. She says, get this, put it on a donkey, and go give it to him. How would you have that kind of a solid plan if you weren't wise in the workings of your home and in the workings of your, they're probably like an estate, and you didn't have the respect and honor of your servants? So she had good understanding and she had wisdom in the dealings of her day-to-day house. And she just said, here's this, get it and take it to him. Okay. Another one. She was humble in the sight of David's anger. That's not always easy, is it? It wasn't her fault. Was it her fault? It wasn't her fault. But she took the blame. She humbled herself to diffuse the situation and to point to the fact that you don't want to do this. If I had been here, this wouldn't even be a problem. So she humbled herself. Sometimes we don't want to humble herself. We just want to row our back and say, this is not my fault, and you just need to deal with it. That doesn't always work, does it? Most of the time, it just makes it what? Worse, yes. Even if you're not wrong, humility is better than confrontation sometimes. Okay, the third one. She knew who David was and had knowledge of events in her country. So be cognizant of what's going on around you. Know what's going on in your home. Know what's going on in your church. So that when you are confronted with a need, you are able to help because you're not oblivious to what's going on around you. Okay, another one. She had courage to point out David's wrong. This was the prospective king of Israel. And she was in a kind manner, in a wise manner, said, you don't want to do this. You're going to regret it. Okay? And it's not bad to say that sometimes to people in a kind and loving manner. We can point out when something is regrettable. You don't want to regret this. Stop and think. Okay? She also could see the consequences. He was blind with rage because this man had been churlish and evil towards him. And she calmed the situation down and noticed the consequences before he did and was able to help him. Number six, she gave a word of blessing and reminded David of God's promise. She went back to what David already knew and what she knew. God was going to bless him and God was going to take care of him. And I think the Lord used her wisdom and her humility and her kindness to help David to not make a big mistake and to calm a situation down. Now, how would you have reacted? We all know ourselves. You know yourself. In your mind, you're going, this is exactly what I would have done. And you have a picture in your mind, right? Okay, so if it's less than wise, let's learn how to be more wise. Though we probably would never say it out loud, each of us know how we might have reacted. Some would have been wise and humble like Abigail. Others would have been foolish like the silly woman of 2 Timothy 3:6. Turn there. 2 Timothy 3:6. Have you ever heard of the silly woman?
Excuse me.
Have you ever heard of the silly woman? Okay, I use this a lot with my girls. Okay, it says, for if of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts. Okay, so basically it's saying there's these evil men who are doing all these bad things and they're coming into these houses, and because these women are silly and evil themselves, they're leading them away and they're leading them off into sin because these women have no good understanding and wisdom. Well, that's not what you want to be. You don't want to be a silly woman led about into evil things. So let's give a couple definitions. Silly would be foolish. We've heard about that already this week. Laden, heaped up, or loaded down. Your conscience is loaded down with sin, and therefore you're not thinking about anything wise at all. Is it easy to think of wise things when you're loaded down with sin? It's not. Led, so you're following, you're being led around. You and your load of sin or being foolish person led around into divers lusts, so various desires and cravings and longings and things that you shouldn't have, forbidden things. Ooh, that doesn't sound like a kind of person that you want to be at all. Someone loaded up with sin, being led around by the nose because of your sin into bad things? Uh-uh. We don't want to be silly women. Okay, now, if Abigail had been a silly woman, what might she have done? Maybe Nabal was having a feast because it was shearing time. Maybe she was having a girls' feast, and they were all laughing and dancing and drinking and doing all the things that girls do at a feast. Would she have been available to help David? Would she have been available to stop anything? No. Okay. What about she hears David's coming? Oh, David's coming. Okay, let's change my veil. Oh, and I haven't washed my face today, and my feet are dirty. Oh, my goodness. And so she runs around, and she gets herself all beautiful, and she puts on her charcoal, her eyeliner, and her, and all this is happening, and David is creeping up and creeping. So she's worried about, she's primping, and worrying about her looks, and worrying about what he's going to think. That's a little silly in the face of death, right? Yeah, okay. Maybe she's unable to decide what to bring because she has no clue. Oh, no. 600 men. What do I do? How much food can 600 men eat? And she just is paralyzed. And so her servants are having to help her. Well, they probably will need this, and they probably will need that, and why don't you give them this, and why don't you give them that? So she's not the one leading the group, is she? She's the one being helped by her servants because she has absolutely no clue. I would think that's a little silly, don't you think? Okay, how about she's afraid of rejection? If I meet David, what if he doesn't like me? He's supposed to be the king. So I'll just send the servants and give him a gift. And maybe he won't kill them. That wouldn't have been effective, would it? No. Okay, what about pride instead of humility? He thinks he's going to come onto our land and hurt us, and he thinks I'm going to let him? Well, I'm going to give him some food just to make him feel better, but he's going to know that he's just going to need to get out of here and go on. Think that would have been very effective? Mm-mm. How about seduction? She gets herself all pretty. She says, ooh, he's going to be the king. Maybe he'll come to the feast with me. David. Think he's gonna notice all of their flirting and all of the stuff to try to get his attention? No, he's mad. Okay? So none of those things are wise and full of good understanding, are they? Would any of those things have changed the story for positive? No. So let's not be like that. Let's not be silly women carrying our load of sin, weighed about where we can't make wise decisions because we can't think straight, because we don't know what straight is. So that's the next step. Now turn to Proverbs 2. So, okay, how can we become wiser young ladies with more inner beauty and good understanding? God's word, of course. There's a passage in Proverbs that gives a working plan for increasing wisdom and understanding. Now, if you make notes in your Bible, maybe jot down some of these steps so that the next time you read Proverbs 2, you'll notice them. I do that in my Bible sometimes. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. And I have to land certain things. So, Proverbs 2. First of all, we're not going to read the passage because we're going to pick through it a little bit. Where does wisdom come from? Where does wisdom come from? Proverbs 2. Look at verse 6. You're right. But there's another step. For the Lord giveth... You're right. Look at that. Verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So if we want to be wise women of good understanding, we're going to need to know that that comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from our buddies. It doesn't come from social media. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from any other thing that might influence you. Influencers, it comes from God. Wisdom and true and good and godly understanding comes from the Lord. Okay? What do I do in order to get wisdom? Okay, verse number 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So first we ask, maybe put by verse 3. These are the steps that I put them in. So first you ask God for wisdom. Ask God to help you have good understanding. Okay, second, search, verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. So is this something that's going to be just plopped in your lap and stuck in your brain because you had your devotions? No. You need to ask for the Lord's help, and you need to search through God's word for wisdom that helps you on the things that you need to work with. Okay, listen. Incline thine ear, and thou wilt receive. Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. So first thing is ask. Second thing is search God's word for the wisdom. When you see what God's word says, listen to it. We don't always listen. We get to the, yes, I need, and here I found, but I don't want to do that. So we don't go to the listening part. We don't listen. Or it says something that we don't agree with. And so we don't listen because, no, I don't think that's how I want to live my life. So, no. So we don't listen. Okay, so verse 2 was, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. And so fourth is apply. Verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So you've asked for help. You've sought in the scriptures. You've heard what it says. Now you have to apply what it says. Do what it says. Okay? That's what you should do in order to become a lady, a young lady of wisdom and a beautiful countenance. Now, what will you get? What will you get if you ask, search, listen, and apply God's word? Verse 5. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Ding, ding. It's like a sign, a neon sign that says, find the wisdom of God, ask, search, listen, apply. And what are you going to get? You're going to find the knowledge of God. And verse 9, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. What? Every path? Every good path. So you want to know your path? You want to know God's will? You want to know what he wants? Ask, search, listen, and apply God's word. Okay? Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. This is like math. If you do this, you get this. 1 + 1 = 2. Okay? If you ask and you search and you listen and you apply, God's going to give you the wisdom that you ask for, and the finality will be verse 11. You will have discretion and understanding. What in the world is discretion? Discretion is a plan. It's a thought. It's insight. It's insight. It's reason. It's seeing the problem and having an answer. It's seeing a need and knowing what God would want you to do about it. It's seeing an area that you know that you need to grow in your life, and you know what you should do about it because you read about it in the Bible and you're willing to do it. That's discretion. And preserve. So discretion shall preserve thee. It will protect you. So making wise decisions, making wise choices is going to protect you. What from? What do you think? Yes? Protect you from carrying that load of sin and making dumb mistakes? Okay. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding or skill, insight, shall keep thee, guard you, protect you. Okay. So the formula for having good understanding and having a beautiful countenance and being a wise young lady is God's word. But it's not just, oh, I have the Bible. No, it's asking for help in the areas that you know you need help in. Seeking in the Bible verses about those things that you know you need help in. Actually listening to what God says about those areas that you know you need help in. And then applying them. And you reap great rewards. Let me read the rewards again. Verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart. That's a picture, isn't it? How does wisdom get in your heart? What are the four steps? What's the first one? Ask. What's the second one? Seek or search. And this is the third one. Listen. And the fourth one. That's how wisdom enters into thine heart. And judgment, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Do you think discretion preserved Abigail and her household? How else would she have saved her household from 400 mighty men of war coming to annihilate them? She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful countenance. That's what I want. That's what you should want too. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and I want you to... The first answer that pops into your mind normally is the one that's true. Would you have been as wise as Abigail? That's true. You're young. You don't expect it to be as wise as Abigail. But you should start taking steps right now today, all through this week of camp and through the rest of your teenage years and into marriage years and all the way until you go to heaven, to develop this wisdom so that you have discretion and you have knowledge to protect you. Okay? Second question. Don't answer this one out loud. Would you have acted like the silly woman? I don't know how I would have reacted. Sometimes I don't think good under pressure because I have my husband to do that for me. But if I had stopped and thought about it, I would have said, how would I save my family? This is what we're going to do. Okay? Would you have acted like a silly woman, or would you have acted like Abigail? We all have areas to work on in that one. What did God point out to you through his word that you should work on? Is it the asking? I don't always ask. Is it the searching? When you're not in your Bible and you're not listening in services or church or Sunday school, you're not searching. Is it listening? Sometimes when you listen, you have to change your mind about what you think and change it to what the Bible thinks. Is it applying? Applying takes discipline. You can get to the listening part and say, yes, that's what I need. No, I'm not going to do it. What good has it done you? And have you gained any wisdom? No. So if you don't get all the way to the applying part, you're not going to gain the discernment and the knowledge that you want. Okay? So what did God point out to you through his word that you should work on? And the last question, will you work on it? Will you work on it? I would suggest that you go back and you reread the story of Abigail. Awesome story. And then you go back and you reread today, both today, because it'll be fresh on your mind. You reread Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. And you ask the Lord, Lord, what in here do I need to do to become more like you and to be a wise woman with a good godly counsel, a countenance, someone that is wise and God can use. Okay? Just like Abigail. Let's read the verse and the description about her one more time. We're not going to do the whole thing, just the part about her. Abigail was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. That's what I want. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. But before I pray, I want everybody to close their Bibles. And we're going to bow our heads, and I want you to pray right now for the things that God pricked your heart about, because I know he did. And then I will close in prayer.